Hello and welcome to the ISIS Americas podcast. It is Wednesday, July 8th here in Houston, Texas. I am pricing reporter Dustin Hall, and I am here with our senior market editor, John Dietrich. Hi, John. How are you?
Not too bad. Yourself?
Doing well. And we're going to be talking a little bit about ethylene here today. I understand the June ethylene contract recently settled down. Could you tell us a little bit about that, John?
So the contract settled lower, and the main driver was, feedstock or cash costs came down, even as spot price, and spot prices fell, but they fell maybe 0.2 cents per pound. It was really the cash costs came down, and it's going to be an interesting formula or an interesting calculation going forward, because right now you've got crackers running, you know, a lot of propane, a lot of butane, because it's so cheap, which means you're producing a lot of co-products or byproducts, depending on how you want to look at it, aromatics, propylene, butadiene. And at least in propylene, that has lengthened the market, coupled with some other things, to the point where the calculus is going to get interesting, to where, you know, propane will remain cheap, ethane will be, you know, cheaper, but this propylene becomes so low that it's, even though you're getting a lot more co-product physically, does the value start to decrease because you're flooding the market with propylene? Mm-hmm. I think we're probably a long ways away from them. So for right now, I think we will continue to see, crackers operate most as much propane and butane as they can over ethane. It's still a majority ethane. And that will give them, if the price is cheap, but it'll still give them physically more volumes of co-product, byproduct credits, aromatics, benzene, propylene, and the like. So it's going to keep kind of a consistent downward pressure on ethylene contracts. You know, any kind of increase will probably have to be driven by either a spate of outages leading to some supply tightness, or just another surge in demand and higher spot prices, which, has not been the case.
So where are we at with the June contract pricing?
So June contracts settled at 33.5, which was the lowest that they've been at since August 2009, which was 32.5.
Okay.
So, this is definitely some of the cheapest ethylene that, we've seen. However, this is probably not the most attractive ethylene for the crackers. Just that margins right now are around 30 cents a pound, maybe the high 20s. Before crude oil came down, margins were routinely around 40, 50, even as high as 60 cents a pound. So even though this is very cheap ethylene, this doesn't mean that this is the most profitable ethylene. Now, mind you, even margins that are down at, 29, 30 cents a pound are incredibly valuable and much better than, when the industry was going through periods where margins were 1 to 2 cents a pound, or maybe a little bit more. So these guys are making, this is very healthy margin level. It's just, it's not the kind of the record-setting margin that we were seeing maybe last year, 2 years ago, at that point. But, the contract coming down is a big deal, but the margins are probably healthier now than they were back in, 2009.
Okay, so the producers are still in pretty good shape, though, I gather.
Yeah. Right now, the sellers are still doing very well.
Mm-hmm.
And what this does, low ethylene prices, especially on the contract side, is that it allows ethylene buyers in the U.S. to export, a lot of their goods, polyethylene, PVC, styrene, some of the ethylene glycol, ethylene oxides, and the like. And that's kind of the long-term hope, is that the U.S. will be able to export all this extra ethylene, turn it into derivatives, and then export those derivatives, because exporting the ethylene is a difficult proposition. It's pretty expensive, and it would take it would take something keeping U.S. ethylene prices low while global ethylene prices surged to open that kind of arbitrage window, and that's very unlikely.
So, do we have a cost advantage over other countries right now?
Oh yeah, we've had a cost advantage ever since really the shale gas boom. We've had a major cost advantage on ethylene derivatives. The crude oil decline that we saw late last year really compressed that advantage, but now that crude oil is back above the $40 barrel level, although it's kind of coming down a bit, but when it's you know $56 a barrel, we still have a pretty healthy cost advantage. The big issue long term is kind of where do we export all these derivatives? Just because we have the cheapest material doesn't necessarily mean buyers will flock to. I mean, that's the conventional line of thought, but I mean, China behaves very differently. Their government does, kind of take a long-term countrywide look. It's not like an individual business is just free to go purchase what it wants. There's a thought that maybe we sort of supplant a lot of European production, but I'm sure they're smart enough to realize you do need, that kind of heavy industry to maintain an economy. And they might be, hesitant to just start gobbling up, U.S. product, as freely as the economics of it would imply, save for times when they're having major production issues. So it is kind of a long-term concern. But right now, ethylene is very cheap. It's come down spot-wise. Spot market today, it's probably about like 34 cents a pound, maybe coming down to the 33s. Prices have been very range-bound since February, between about 33 and 36 and a half cents a pound. They've been in a very kind of narrow range, just because there's a lot of production going on. The crackers are running hard. They've got a lot of incentive to build inventories because, they're making it for so cheap. Ethane is so inexpensive. Propane and butane are so inexpensive that if you're going to be caught, there's very little risk in being caught with high inventories right now. You're probably still going to be able to make money on the product when you eventually sell it. And I think a lot of these producers also would like to get ahead of any potential production issues during a possible hurricane season.
Okay. Should that cause trouble for them later. Okay. And just to be clear, so the cost advantage that we have, you were saying it's not to the extent that it would make sense to export ethylene itself. Is that correct?
Correct. I mean, exporting ethylene physically, it's a very expensive process. You've got to compress it. You've got to cool it.
Mm-hmm.
And, the shipping space you would need to really make it worth it is probably limited. A lot of it, that shipping space probably used for, oil, natural gas, even bigger kind of markets. So, no, it's
more ethylene, for the derivatives that we're focusing on.
Yeah, ethylene exports have never been a major avenue for the U.S. Mm-hmm. And, it's unlikely they really ever will be anytime soon. Where you have your advantage is taking the ethylene and making it into plastic pellets, PVC, polyethylene, styrene, and then taking those pellets, which you can just easily bag, store in a ship, not worry about if they get, too hot, too cold, and move them across the ocean or move them, down the ocean to, like, South America, parts of Asia, and the like.
So with the pricing where it is, so I gather you're saying the downstream producers, the ethylene pricing is very attractive to them. That means demand is strong right now. I mean, is that accurate?
Yeah, domestic demand in the U.S. is doing pretty well. I wouldn't say we're not like in a peak economic point right now, but we're doing pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
And we definitely have a cost advantage on the export. So there are decently healthy export levels of PVC, polyethylene, getting moved to various regions. The question is, what we have now is probably not enough to absorb the slate of crackers that are expected to come online between now and kind of 2020, 2025.
Hmm.
And so those additional pounds, which represent, I think, somewhere between like a 25 to 35% increase in capacity over what we have now, where does all that material go?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the hope is that, it's the cheapest, we'll just send it to China, and we'll feed kind of the growth of the Chinese, kind of economy. But again, China doesn't play by the same rules that the U.S. and Europe do, just by dint of their government and things like that.
And their growth has slowed recently as well.
Yeah. And that's not the slam dunk that it used to be. So
yeah.
It's going to be very interesting to see what these plants kind of do and how where we move the derivatives
mm-hmm.
and the ethylene and how hard they get run.
Okay, right. Well, to be continued, John, I appreciate you being on the podcast today.
Of course, always. I'm sure we'll have probably one coming up soon.
Excellent. Everyone, well, stay tuned to ISIS.com. You'll find all of John's news stories there, along with all of our other coverage as well. So thank you for listening. We'll see you next time.